discharge of contracts. Well, friends, the terminology discharge indicates the termination or end of contractual relations. Thus, when a contract ceases to operate and the rights and obligations come to an end, the terminology that we use is called discharge. So, in many cases, we find that the rights and obligations actually start after the contract ceases. Of course, it is independent of the contract. We now proceed with discharge of contracts. Discharge means termination of a contract, and thus we have primarily the following modes of discharge: by performance of an obligation, by refusing the tender of performance, by the promisee failing to offer facilities for performance, by breach, by refusal, by actual breach, and by anticipatory breach of contract and the remedies. Well, to explain what this area is about. By performance, when we say performance, we indicate that both the parties have completed their respective obligations. A tells B, can you have a portrait done for me? Or can you undertake this painting for me? When B completes the task and A pays for the same, the task is said to be completed, and therefore it is called as an actual performance by both the parties. It may sometimes happen that one party provides a tender of performance, which means an offer to do where the other party refuses to accept the performance. For example, X tells Y, I shall deliver 500 quintals of rice on Tuesday. However, Y refuses to accept. This is called as a tender of performance, wherein, in such a case, the promisor is absolved or relieved from his liability, and thereby he is released from his part of the obligation to carry it forward. Certain cases, the promisee fails to offer facilities for performance, wherein there could be a promisee who tells the promisor, kindly paint my house. Now the promisor had asked the promisee, please provide me with a ladder. The promisee fails to provide the ladder. Now this is an area where the promisee fails to have the facilities provided to the promisor so that the task cannot be executed, and therefore the promisor stands discharged from his obligation. Coming down to breach. What is the meaning of breach? Breach is to break a promise, or obviously not to do what is required to be done under the contract. And therefore, when one party fails to perform his part of the obligation or makes it impossible for the task to be performed, we say there is a breach of contract, which takes two forms here, which is called actual breach and an anticipatory breach. What is meant by an actual breach? On the day when the performance is due, as we have said, friends, X has agreed to supply 500 quintals of rice on Tuesday. When he is just about to supply and Y is ready to accept, X states, I'm sorry, I cannot undertake the supply on Tuesday morning. This is called as actual breach. Anticipatory, before the day of performance, that is, on Monday morning or Monday evening, X tells Y, I'm sorry, I may not be in a position to perform, is called an anticipatory breach, wherein the party who has undertaken to perform refuses to undertake his part of the obligation before the time is due, and this is called anticipatory breach of contract. By frustration, by impossibility, cases of supervening impossibility. Destruction of the subject matter necessary for performance, a change of law, death or personal incapacity, outbreak of war, the non-existence of a particular state of things which forms the basis of the contract. The third area for discharge is called supervening impossibility. The English man calls it frustration. What is the meaning of frustration? The English man indicates the base of the subject matter is totally lost, so that he is unable to proceed with a contract. Because there arises a circumstance subsequent to the formation of the contract so that it ceases to be enforceable. Now, what are these circumstances? The five important areas are destruction of the subject matter. We have a famous case study called Taylor versus Cadwell. C has lent out a hall to T, who is a singer, a performer. The singer had agreed that he would perform on a particular day. Unfortunately, just before one day of the day of performance, the hall, the auditorium, is gutted with fire. Was this contemplated between the parties? No. It is an unforeseen circumstance, which is called supervening impossibility. Secondly, non-occurrence of a state of things. Many a times, two people come together under the anticipation that a certain state of things shall occur. But when the state of things do not occur, the contract is said to be frustrated. We have a famous case of Krell versus Henry. H had hired a balcony to witness the coronation ceremony of King Edward VII. What was the circumstance? The crowning or coronation of King Edward VII. King Edward fell ill. The coronation was cancelled. The question arises, Krell, the owner, can you file a suit with Henry to recover the rent? No, sorry, you cannot, because the coronation did not take place. Thirdly, personal incapacity. Sometimes painters, singers, contracts regarding personal capacity dies with a person. We have an R.D. Barman who is to perform on a particular day. Unfortunately, the day before, he meets with death. Can this contract be carried forward by his spouse or by his legal heirs? No, it dies with the person. So death or personal incapacity. Similarly, a change in legislation. There could be a statute or an ordinance whereby there is any takeover by a change in government policies, whereby we have many governments ruling over us where they have different policies undertaken by each of these governments. When there is a change in such policies or a takeover, we say the contract stands frustrated. To just give you an illustration, X enters into a contract with Y and says, I shall transport the goods from one destination to another. Unfortunately, the government of X's country says, sorry, there is an ordinance which bans transportation of goods. Now, this means X cannot carry on the contract. Similarly, an outbreak of war. If there is a person who entertains a contract with an alien enemy and a war breaks out, obviously, this transaction cannot be carried forward because he not only becomes disqualified, but such a contract is suspended due to war being declared with two enemy countries. So that this is the last case for frustration where the base of the contract falls flat and it cannot be enforced being a void contract. By agreement, by consent, by novation and its essentials. Novation occurs with the consent of both the parties. The new contract must be one which is capable of enforcement of law. The agreement to substitute the new contract for the old must not be after the breach of the original contract. Just as an agreement comes into existence by mutual consent, a discharge takes place by a method called novation. What is novation? It means new substituted for old. It may be between the same parties with a change in the contract, or it may be between different parties. For example, the debtor tells the creditor, "Sir, I owe you 5,000 rupees. Today, I would like to inform you that instead of me repaying it the same, I have a guarantor who will replace this money unto you." So instead of the contract between the debtor and the creditor, we have today the surety promising this amount to the creditor is called novation. Or the debtor has taken a loan of rupees 1,000. Today, a second type of novation is, he says, "I will mortgage my jewelry for a sum of rupees 800. Now, this is a new contract which is substituted for the old, which is called novation. By accord or satisfaction, by remission and waiver, by rescission, which are the three methods. Now, remission and waiver. A owes B a sum of rupees 5,000. Remission, to surrender or give up. So instead of the creditor filing a case and it takes a long period of time, the debtor tells the creditor, "Sir, I will give you a sum lesser than what is due." What was the sum due? The sum due was 5,000 rupees, let us say, from the debtor to the creditor. The debtor tells the creditor, "Sir, I shall pay you 4,000 rupees in full and final settlement." If the creditor says yes, and if it is satisfied by the payment of the sum, it is called as an accord and satisfaction, whereby the creditor waives this right. Which means, instead of getting 5,000, today he is ready to accept 4,000 in full and final settlement. It is called as a remission or a waiver. Rescission. Rescind means to cancel the contract. The cancellation takes place where one party has promised to perform and the other party is ready to accept. But unfortunately, the party who is required to perform has failed to perform. The other party cancels the contract. This could be sometimes by mutual consent. For example, A tells B, "I'll supply goods after 6 months. After 6 months, probably it is clothes and the things go out of fashion. They mutually decide to rescind the contract. It may also happen in the case of a voidable contract wherein, if the consent is caused by force, the aggrieved party has a right to rescind or cancel the contract, which is called rescission. By operation of law, by insolvency or bankruptcy, by merger, by unauthorized material alteration, by impossibility of performance, by lapse of time, and by death. We come down to operation of law. Operation of law happens in 5 circumstances. When the person dies, here the contract stands discharged with the death of the person, wherein here are the legal heirs or representatives to whom the area of the suit devolves. So this is called death. But with the death of the person, personal contracts die with the man, other contracts are sought to be carried forward. Insolvency, when a man is declared insolvent, the person who substitutes him is called the court receiver or the official assignee who takes over the assets of the insolvent person. Sometimes there could be an unauthorized material alteration of the terms and conditions of the contract. Or, in a circumstance which is called as a merger. What is a merger? X has taken a house on lease from the landlord. He tells the landlord, "Sir, today I'm purchasing this property outright." Now, what is the first contract? The first contract is one of lease, wherein it's on tenancy basis. And the other one is an ownership clause. So, an inferior right being merged or amalgamated with a superior right discharges the old contract by merger. Lapse of time. Every contract has a duration of time, which is a period of 3 years, which is called the limitation period under the Limitation Act. Creditor, if you don't file a suit within the time limit, your right to enforce it against the debtor stands expired, and this is called lapse of time. So therefore, whatever action you are required to take is required to be before the time period but not after the time, because once it expires, the contract stands discharged by lapse of time. When there is a failure of one of the objects, this failure of one object where there are two or three objects does not excuse performance. A strike by a workman, that is a group of workmen going on a strike, or a closure by the employer for a temporary period of time, which is a lockout in industrial law terms, does not excuse performance. And therefore, strikes and lockouts are all man-made. But what we understand in frustration is one which is unforeseen beyond the capacity of parties. We have observed by lapse of time, by operation of law, which could be either due to death, insolvency or merger, and any kind of unauthorized material alterations, and finally, breach of contract, which could be actual or anticipatory. Actual means on the day when it is due, anticipatory means much before the day of performance. In such an eventuality, what does the party do? The injured party immediately rescinds the contract and files a case to recover damages, or he asks the promisor, I shall wait until you redo the act again. But in such an eventuality, supposing there is any unforeseen circumstance in the event of a supervening impossibility, then the contract will not be discharged, so that the aggrieved party is unable to file a suit for damages. Well, friends, I think the area on discharge of contract is now very clear to you. Thank you very much. We have now understood what are the various modes of discharge of a contract, wherein we have now discussed the 6 very important modes: by performance, by mutual agreement and consent, by frustration, which is called supervening impossibility. Fourthly, we have lapse of time when the time expires, by operation of law in the event of death or insolvency of the parties, and finally, in the event of a breach of contract, which means one party breaking his part of the promise to undertake a legal obligation. Thank you very much.